And we come to today, the first Sunday of Advent, and I'd like to encourage you to have anticipation for Christ and His birth. Advent is a time of preparation, a time of waiting for us as a church. And we sometimes don't really get excited at this time. For some people, you might be thinking, oh goodness, it's Christmas again. It's those busy, busy shops, gifts, 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 shops saturated with Boney M. For some people, that's the best thing ever. For other people, that's not the best thing ever. And then possibly Christmas time is a time of family, and some people revel in that, and some people are thinking, oh glory, not that time of the year again. But we sometimes come to this time of the year with different things. I know for us here at the church, we tend to find that this time, the last week or so, has really ramped up as we prepare for carols, as we prepare for Christmas. And I would like to just encourage you, anticipate the birth of Christ. Forget about those other things for now, but look forward to Christ being born again. We started with the Advent readings. We're going to have different people reading those readings. We have a banner, and today we talk about hope. In the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about peace, joy, and love. Our scripture this morning is in Isaiah 9, verse 2, and then verse 4-7. This is the word of the Lord. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So what is hope? Hope is something that happens in our heads. It's a feeling that we have that things will get better, that on the horizon there's something that's going to be good. We hope in the Lord. The best place to find hope is in the loving arms of Jesus Christ. I thought about these song words, and Ingrid's already said, ooh, we don't speak much about hope in our songs, but I already saw the word hope a few times, Ingrid. But I don't know if you remember this song, Hope Has a Name. Hope has a name, Emmanuel, the light of the world who broke through the darkness. All hail the King, Emmanuel, the light of the world, the glory of heaven. And then the one verse that I just want to mention is, come if you're broken. Come if you're searching. If you need healing, He's where you'll find it. Lay down your burdens and breathe in forgiveness. And if you need freedom, He's where you'll find it. Oh, if you need freedom, He's where you find it. Hope has a name, Emmanuel. Three things I want to share with you this morning is that hope is rooted in the past, hope is active in the present, and hope is promised in the future. If you look at the scripture, Isaiah, it was written 740 years before Christ. Isaiah said, this is what's going to happen. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. 740 years. And the very thing that he said was going to happen did happen. Christ was born. And now, 2024 years later, we still wait. And we still celebrate that event that Isaiah told us was going to happen. Know this, that when Christ was born, that prophecy, Isaiah's prophecy, didn't just stop. That prophecy continues till the 25th of December and past that for the years to come. So for 2,764 years, we've known that Christ would come. And for 2024 years, he has been here. And in the future, he will be with us. He's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our hope is rooted in the past. We need to look back and say our hope is built. We could say it's rooted in the past, or the foundation of our hope is in the past, or the roots of our foundation are found in the past. But we look back knowing that God has done awesome things, and we live in that hope that he will continue to do awesome things. He is our Wonderful Counselor. He is our Mighty God. He's still the same God of the Old Testament. He didn't change when Christ came. He's still the God of the whole universe. He is our Everlasting Father, yours and mine. He is the Prince of Peace of our lives and his kingdom here on earth now. Still today. Psalm 20 says this, "Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm." That very same God that the psalmist was speaking about is our God. We stand firm. We don't trust in chariots and horses. We trust in the name of our God. The one who was and is to come is the one who we find our hope in. Romans 15 verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Did you pick that up? Everything that was written is so that we might have hope. We live in God's word, and because we live in his word and we believe, we have faith, we trust, we have hope. Our hope is rooted in the past, so we find it in the Old Testament, but it's found in the New Testament as well. Did you know that when I punched into Google, promises in the New Testament, the one website said 750 New Testament promises. Only 750. If you say I'm battling to find promises in God's word, you're missing it 750 times in the New Testament. The website told me something about the Old Testament, 300 and something, something. So we're looking at over 1,000 promises for us in God's word. And what do the promises do? The promises encourage us that God is good, that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God is with us, that God will not leave us. That's what these promises are all about. One of my favorites, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," Romans 8 verse 1. "Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death." There is now no condemnation. The feeling of heaviness and ugliness because you sin, that is no more. God might nudge us and say, "Hey, you know that wasn't right." That's not condemnation. That's conviction. Condemnation is the heaviness, the accusations that we feel. There is now no condemnation. Those people that are in Christ, none of that exists anymore. And if we feel it, we tell it to get lost, because that's not from Christ. Maybe, as I say, promises, some of the promises you might think of, or you might not have thought of, I don't know. What about the Beatitudes? Those are all promises. Matthew 5, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Promise. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Promise. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Promise, promise, promise. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Hope is rooted in the past. We find hope in the Old Testament. We find hope in the New Testament. And then we find hope in the many, many saints that have gone before us. There might be one particular saint that you really get inspired by. Maybe it's a theologian of past. Maybe it's a writer of hymns or worship. But there are people that we look at and go, I have hope because of what I see in this person. For me, it's Mother Teresa. You know, before I even became a Christian, I knew about that woman. Before I was even active in the church, I knew about her. And just, I'm inspired by her sense of servanthood, her sense of determination, her unwavering commitment to the call that God placed on her life, to love people who nobody else wanted to love. So maybe your hope is in, is boosted, is made strong in people that have gone before you. Hope is rooted in the past. Our hope is also rooted in the past when we look at what God has done for us. Do we look at the Old Testament? Yes. We look at the New Testament? Yes. We look at the other saints? Yes. And then we look at our own lives and go, wow, God has done so much for me. We should challenge. We should be able to just look back to last week and say, I see God active in my life. We can look further. That's fine. I always look to the moment that Christ moved in my heart for the very first time and said, you need me in your life. That sticks with me regardless. But then I look at all the other moments that God has been at work. And my hope is rooted in the past, in what God has done for me over and over and over again. So hope is rooted in the past. Hope is active in the present. Here, we are here today because of hope. The people that stood up in front of us are joining us because of hope. Because something is going to happen for them and for us as we journey with the new people. I stand up here and I say, I want to be a part of this. I'll say this oath in hope. Because we believe God is working now and will work in the future. So as we live in the present, we know that God will do great things. In the next few minutes, when you leave here, God will do great things. Tomorrow, God will do great things. But He's doing things right now. And it's because of our hope. We're gathered because of hope. We listen to Brian because of hope. We go to the scriptures today because of hope. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That there is hope. Anxiety, if you want a pill for anxiety, one of the pills you can take is hope. Knowing that God will help you in this place, in this very moment. He is working, He's active, He's alive. We prayed just now for people to be healed. In that moment, people were healed. I remember this crazy, this is a deviation. Oh, it's 10:09. Oh man. It's a good story. Oh, it's a good story. So I was in Kempton Park. I was ministering there. We called people up who wanted to be prayed for healing. This one young girl came up for healing and she had a sore back. And so I was the one that was going to pray for her. I was the JJ of that moment, and I prayed for her that she would be healed. And she went away and she was like, whew. She was looking good. She was feeling strong after service, chatted to her. She said, yes, I've been healed. Well, that next week she went to the dentist. You know how dentists, you see them the 1 week, they do an x-ray and tell you to come back the next week so they can fix it. I don't know if that's a plot to get more money. Anyway, no, let's not talk about that now. We can distract it. So before I prayed for her, she'd gone to the dentist. They'd done the x-ray. They said, you need to come next week so we can fix that cavity. Well, she went back the next week. The dentist was scratching around in her mouth, looking at the x-rays, scratching around, looking, scratching. Then he said, I think I need to take more x-rays. Guess what? We'd prayed for her back. God had done a complete healing miracle. Even her tooth had no more cavity. So, she got more than she bargained for. So anxiety is something that we see a lot of. And the scripture talks about the fact that we don't have to be anxious. Hope says God is with us now. Hope says God is going to be the one with us tomorrow. What about 2 Corinthians 1:3-4? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Comforts us in all our troubles. This is the stuff of hope. People are here this morning even though they feel troubled. Because we live in hope, we come to this place and we say, Lord, I want to be close to you. So hope is active in the present. And we are friends with the one who offers the ultimate place of hope. We live with him on a day-to-day basis. So hope is rooted in the past, it's active in the present, and hope is promised in the future. Hope is promised in the future. The prophecy of Isaiah isn't going to stop on the 25th. All of that stuff that is promised in the Old Testament by Almighty God continues. Continues past today. When you walk out into your next week, the promises are there for you. When you go to the 25th, they're there for us. Next year, 2025, they are with us. God's promises are true. Lamentations 3:21-23. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. Thou new every morning, great is your faithfulness. Sure, this is a lamentation scripture, but the God who is new, his compassion is new every morning, is the same God we worship today. This promise is for us, as much as it was for the people it was written for back in the day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's with us. He loves us. He's here right now. He walks with us. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It's not only a hope now, but as Peter writes, it's a living hope. As we live, hope grows. Grows within us as we live with Christ. He speaks about an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Your hope is sure. It's very sure. It's sure for now and it's sure for when we get to heaven. Muriel was a beautiful, beautiful lady of Christ. She was a beautiful, beautiful saint. And she lived in the hope that she would be with Christ. And we believe she is because of her faith and because of promises like this. There's an inheritance for us all as we live in him in heaven. So hope is rooted in the past, hope is active in the present, and hope is promised in the future. We need to believe that. We need to believe that the God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere, all the time, is the God who will bring hope to fruition in our lives. Now, today, he has, and he will. So we look forward to the birth of Christ as we come into this very first Sunday of Advent. And even more than that, it is looking forward to all that Christ's birth means to us today. He was born, he lived, he died. He rose again that we might have life. He performed many miracles. Jesus gave us his name as we follow him. He takes away the sins of the world. He cleanses and purifies everyone who calls on his name, even the worst of the worst. Then he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. We do not walk alone. We walk with him, and it's all starting with his birth. We live in a world where often we see very little hope. We live in a world where we see people at war with each other. We see many lives destroyed. We see dictators who do terrible things. We see news reports of lots of bad things happening. We look at the economy and see what that's doing. And right now, anything could happen. But, big but, in Christ, we have hope. We have the hope that he is always with us, even to the very end of the earth. Hope that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hope that he will one day rule and reign in power. Hope that one day there will be no sickness and no death. hope that we will be with him in glory. Our hope is rooted, it's anchored, it finds its foundation in the past, but we do not get stuck there. We do not get stuck in the past. Our hope is active in the present. It is lived in the here and now. But more than that, hope is promised in the future. We live in hope because Jesus is our living hope. Let this time when we celebrate Christmas be a time filled with hope. Amen.